to Galatians this morning. Now, what we're going to see today is very, very important. So, you know, Galatians lays out, and it's only six chapters long, but apostolically, it lays out some very, very important things, starting with a right gospel. So we know in Galatians, I'm not going to try to ad-lib it. I'm just going to, you guys go to Galatians 6, would you please? So we know that in the book of Galatians apostolically that Paul comes and he says, I stand in doubt of you. You need to be birthed again. Their mind has taken on a form of doctrine that did not come by the Holy Ghost. They tried to go into their own works and work the works of God in their own works. That's what they were trying to do. Thus, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. And we have preached much about those things over the years, correct? Even in the book of Galatians. I'm going to go and read something to you. Do you just stay where you're at? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Did you hear what that said? We or a what? An angel. So does Satan have his own angels? How do they speak? Okay, they speak the word of God, but they speak it in a lie, but you can't discern the difference, right? Who do you need to help you? You need the Holy Ghost. Is the angel of Satan a Holy Ghost? No, he's not holy. He's not holy. He speaks deceit. He speaks lies. And he forms another gospel. So when we look at, if I were to go into the book of Revelation and we would begin to look at the first church, what did the first church do right? What did they hate? The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, correct. How about the second church? What did they do that God hated? They began to allow the doctrine of the Nicolaitans to be formed in their mind, in the church. Not good. So what caused that to happen in the second church? What happened in the first church? They lost their first love. So because they lost their first love, then in the second church, what could come in and deceive it? The false doctrine or the wrong mind. So let me go on to you again. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So it was such a strong thing in, apostolically in the mind of the apostles that he stated it twice. If any man preach to you another gospel, let him be accursed. So when you begin to meditate on the word of God and another gospel begins to be formed in you, what does the apostle say? Let it be accursed, because it is cursed. It is not Jesus Christ. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I speak to please men? Now listen to this. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Very good, Ted. You cannot serve two masters, for you'll love the one and hate the other. So if I preach a man-pleasing gospel, what gospel am I preaching? I'm preaching a gospel that is accursed. Hear me. So am I to please man or am I to please God? You know that in the retention of thought, we want to retain thought that pleases who? Ourselves. We want to please ourselves. And that's where we hold the gospel in the lie. Trying to please ourselves. Listen, If you are trying to please yourself, can you please God? I'm telling you, it's impossible. Because what we're going to lead into this morning, then, and this is our segue into some of the things that need to be said today, and that is, listen, you cannot be a man pleaser and please God. You cannot do it. Even in your perceptions in the physical plane, it is impossible to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and please men. I don't care which consciousness you're in when it comes to life. Hear me. So if I'm in the consciousness of God, is God going to speak in any consciousness to please men? Or is God going to always speak to please himself as God? Always. Never to please man or mankind, if I may say it that way for you this morning. So there are many levels of consciousness. Amen? And we've talked about many of them. Paul, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the second Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he went into the third heaven. So what consciousness was he in? He was in the third consciousness of heaven. So is there a first consciousness of heaven? Is there a second consciousness of heaven? Is there a third consciousness of heaven? And in the consciousness that he went into in the third heaven, what did he see and hear? Things that were not lawful for a man to speak. Who can speak it? God can. How about God's angels? They can. How about the apostle? Can he speak it? Yes. Because in that mind, is he a man or is he now the Son of God? He has been translated or transformed into a new creature. That's the part that a lot of times when we think, we leave it off. It's the transformation in the consciousness to a new creature to where the angel of the Lord can now speak. So if I want to be transformed if my desire is to be transformed by the Word of God, to become the Word of God, then I have to allow the Word of God to create in me the new creature to where I'm not trying to please man or mankind. Amen? I was at a golf tournament on Thursday and had a great time other than the fact that it rained the entire day. Of course, it was a lot of pastors were there and a lot of ministers and associate pastors and elders and of all these other churches in the valley, churches that support the Boise Bible College. And so I didn't speak to anyone about Jesus Christ. I listened to everyone about Jesus Christ. And it was very apparent in the listening that they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. That is what we are talking about. If you're a man-pleaser, if you live in the man-pleasing thought, you deny the power of God. And as Ted alluded to just a few moments ago, you cannot have two masters. So if you live in a man-pleasing thought, you cannot serve the living God. It is not, you are not capable of doing it. Hear me. Now, what's the man pleaser? How does he think? We say he thinks like man. How does man think? This is the part where we do not allow God through his word to teach his spirit. Okay? Does man think like God or does man think like man? Man thinks like man. Man cannot search the deep things of God. God will not allow man to search the deep things of God. Man needs the Holy Ghost to search the deep things of God for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do you know it is impossible to please God without faith? The Bible says that. Faith in what? Faith in God. So, if I am faithful in myself, of myself, can I please God? No. The man pleaser is working in that form of faith and in that gospel. So the perceptions then that I have, even of this life, are they right or are they wrong? They are wrong. It has formed perceptions even in this life that keep me from acknowledging the truth that is Jesus Christ. That's why he opens this epistle so strongly that if anybody comes to you preaching another, whether it be a man or an angel or whatever, if it preaches another gospel, it is accursed. And it will not allow you to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. That's its desire. Thus, listen to this. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat. So it's talking about who coming from James? The circumcision. The Jew, okay? He did eat with the Gentiles, but when the circumcision or the Jew came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So what mind is now working in Peter? The man-pleasing thought. Wow, this is... How much time do you think we spend in our thoughts trying to please our children? Hear me. And we don't even recognize within ourselves what Spirit's working when it happens. That's why I have said very strongly over the last several years, we need to allow the Word of God to change our perceptions of even what? Our children. That doesn't mean we don't love our children or we don't do good things for them. But do we need to be aware of the thought we're in our intent, before we do those things? I'm telling you, we had better. There's much to learn when it comes to that. Much. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas, who was Barnabas? I'm telling you, he was an apostle. His hands were laid on him at the same time they were laid on Paul, and they were separated under the work of the gospel. Yet, if Peter got carried away in a dissimulation, could Barnabas also get carried away in a dissimulation by the same Spirit? This is why it is so important that we allow the Spirit of truth to begin to discern the spirits that work in us that keep us from coming into the kingdom of heaven. We can't just preach a gospel that doesn't grab our attention as to what is working within and not allow the new creature to be formed. Either the gospel has the power to form the new creature, or I'm serving the wrong God. Hear me. It's that strong. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? That's a heck of a question, isn't it? So in my mind, now listen, in my mind, I'm serving two masters. Because I fear that gospel that formed the lie in me more than I fear the truth. Well, that's why the dissimulation is there. That's why I vacillate between two opinions. That's why even Elijah in the Old Testament, when he built the altars with the prophets of Baal, he told Israel, how long are you going to stay halt between two opinions? How long are you going to do it? You build two altars, the prophets of Baal on one, I'm going to show you the living God on the other. This is why we're here. This is why we preach the truth. This is why we sanctify the Lord. So when Elijah began to pour the water on his altar, what was he doing? What was he doing? Sanctifying the Lord. Because in the sanctification of the Lord, who was going to descend and consume the altar of sacrifice? The Lord. The prophets of Baal, did they sanctify their altar? No. They didn't even try. They didn't understand sanctification. It didn't work. Well, that's because they didn't know God. My God, the true God, is a consuming fire. The false God is not. Hear me. He's not. So how can sin be made manifest if you're not serving a true God? It cannot. You will think sin is God. So if you live in another gospel, if you live in a man-pleasing gospel, you're going to think your sin is what? I just told you the answer. God. Hear me. That's how it works in you. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what did he just say? By no flesh shall the works of the law be justified. So he ends that chapter this way, and we've quoted it at least 1,000 times. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Because it's in that crucifixion that I become the new creature. If I don't become the new creature, my intent and my will is not right. Haven't we been preaching that for the last little while now? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this life that I now live in the flesh, what flesh is it talking about? This is where Christianity, this is where all of us, we become confused when it begins to talk about flesh. How many of us have allowed the Word of God to form in us the right flesh? We've started. That's good, right? So when the Bible talks about all these different kind of fleshes, we have great discernment, correct? No, because who can form the perception of flesh? Only God. This is the part where, this is why we don't want to go back into our knowledge. If we don't allow the Spirit of truth to form the perception, when we try to go back into our knowledge to form it of ourselves, What did Peter get carried away in? A dissimulation. A man-pleasing thought. You know how do you think Jesus cared if mankind liked him or not? Did he love them? Oh, he loved them. But he came with purpose, right? He didn't come to please them. He came to save them. You know, there's a difference between coming to save and coming to please. Because in coming to save, what does he already know they're going to do to him? They're going to crucify him. Can you begin to see the difference in how you think? Is that if I come in another will other than to be crucified, other than to die, I cannot do the will of God. Now that's pretty important to understand. I come to do thy will, O God. Is that what Jesus said? So, in coming to do his will, he knew he came to die. Knowing what? That he would be raised up in the newness of life. He would translate from flesh to spirit forever. So that when the apostles translated into spirit, they knew him after the flesh, no more. That's the gospel. That's the new creature. Can you say amen? Now, that all being said, and there's much left in, I mean, there's a lot more to say in the next several chapters about these things. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Did you hear that? If you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What circumcision is he talking about? Yes. So he's talking about which kind of circumcision? Of the law. It was a fleshly circumcision. And it identified you as what? A Jew. A believer of Jewish faith. That's what it identified you as. But when it comes to Christ, it profits you how much? Nothing. So listen, this man-pleasing thought that we possess, it is such a powerful thought that lives within. Do you know that in the man-pleasing thought, it will even say things about perceptions outwardly in this life that, my mind was blown away the other day. My mind was literally blown away because I began to perceive how strong the man-pleasing thought is in the religious mind. But the religious mind will say it this way: if Hillary Clinton would have gotten elected instead of Trump, that we would have seen the second coming of Jesus Christ by now. And I was like, my God. It was said and spoke as sincere as it possibly could have been spoken. And I'm like, I'm telling you folks, now don't get carried away with that. That's just an example. Don't get carried away with it, oh foolish Galatians. Hear me. That is plain foolishness. And a fool does not know who. A fool does not know God. Do you hear me? That's craziness. And yet they believe it. It's just mind-blowing. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For I say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Amen? So if you got circumcised, now who are you serving? Are you serving the law or are you serving Jesus Christ? What are you serving? He just told you, you're serving the law. The law can perfect no man. The law is the bondage that Jesus Christ came to take away. So if I'm serving the law, then am I serving Jesus Christ? No. Now another gospel has the opportunity to form in my thoughts a wrong way. So if you have been told that you have a lawful mind, then who are you believing? Are you believing Jesus Christ or are you believing another? Another gospel. And I'll say it honestly to y'all, y'all have a lawful mind. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are, justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Huh. He's not mincing words, is he? If you think the law is your justification, then you do not understand the grace of God. Let me go on. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So now, God came and prophesied unto you that you are who? The Son of God. So now, through the Spirit, hear me, through the Spirit, the hope of righteousness by faith is going to make you the Son of God. Not your works. Hear me, hear me, hear me. So if I try to work at John, am I going to get there? Nope. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. What's love? Y'all know it. To know yourself as God knows you. Do I need to say it again? To know yourself as God knows you. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Not in the flesh. Now, you can go read the rest of that. Now, this is where I wanted to be to start with. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Okay. So, why do we gather here? Do we gather here so that the discernment of spirits can take place in you? Amen. So, what is a fault then? Is a fault not being able to discern an evil spirit that works within? So, who's your helper? God is your helper. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do to me. Amen? That's what it says. But if I try to live in a man-pleasing thought, if I live in a man-pleasing thought, who's my helper? You know, the Lord's not. Do you understand how important what the things that we're saying this morning? Do you understand that, listen, we all live in a man-pleasing thought. This is why we're preaching it this morning. We live in it. It's tradition. And I'm telling you, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God this morning. Let it be identified in you so that you can repent and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's why we're here. Now, does that mean I'm going to become a partaker in your sins? No. How does Jesus Christ not become a partaker in your sins? He makes manifest your sins, and then what did he do for them? He overcame it. How did he overcome it? By the word of God. He went into the wilderness, tempted of the devil for 40 days. And every time the devil came to him, what did he give the devil? He gave him the word of God. Gave him a piece of his mind, John. Because his mind was the word of God. So he gave him a piece of his mind. And every time the devil got a piece of God's mind, scared the holy crap out of the devil. If I can say it that way. Oh, it scared him, man. Because who does the devil know that he has to submit to? He has to submit to God. So when the word of God goes forth, the devil knows that he has to submit to it. That's why when Jesus came forth, after the temptation, after the provoking in the wilderness, when he came forth as the true witness. He came forth as the Son of God. He came forth in all power. And so every evil spirit, every evil disease was overcome by the word of God that was in him. And so shall it be with you. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's the man-pleasing thought. Man-pleasing thought thinks he's something. But really, he's what? Nothing. But he tries to exalt himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I was in another conversation, and I want to be like that man over there. That man can preach the gospel, man. That man's got it. That man does this. That man does that. That's a cursed conversation. You don't want to be like that man. You want to be like Jesus. And him only do you want to be like. You don't want to be like that man. Because that thought is what? It is a man-pleasing thought. Hear me. We have been duped, haven't we? For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Wow! Call your elder. Did you hear what that just said? My whole thought this morning was in one scripture. Well, who's going to bear your burden? So, if the Lord is my helper, should I trust the Lord? Are you with me? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So, if I stay in a man-pleasing thought, what am I going to reap? I'm going to reap man-pleasing thought. I'm going to reap another gospel, John. I'm going to be a curse from God. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So can the flesh reap good things? No. It just told you what you're going to reap. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Shall reap life everlasting. So, how much do I need the body of Christ? Does Christ have a body? Yes, he does. Do I need to be baptized into that body? Yes, I do. Can I discern between the body of Christ and the body of flesh? Or do I need to be taught? I need to be taught. Can God form in you the body of Christ? Doesn't the Bible say that you are the temple of the living God? Does the Bible call you the church? Does it call you the church of the living God? And does that church have a head? And who's the head of it? Jesus Christ. But yet we don't know what that church looks like. Amen? But does God know what it looks like? Do you know, as long as, I'm going to say this, and it's true, as long as we build buildings and call it church, you will never, ever see the structure, the superstructure of God. I'll stand on that. God has a building fitly framed together by every joint and marrow. So the Bible says. It's the superstructure of God called the body of Christ. This is where Ephesians becomes so prophetic. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So the whole family in heaven and earth is named what? After who? Jesus Christ, Frankie. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I lie not. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, the craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's overcome. We're a new creature. We don't think the same. The man pleaser has been overcome and destroyed. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now listen to this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Why? Because the truth is in Jesus. You put off the former conversation. You've put on the new conversation. The new conversation does not please men. The new conversation pleases God. So can you repent today and leave the former conversation off and put on Christ, the new conversation, the hope of glory? For the revelation of the mystery is in you. And when you stop, isn't that a wonderful word, Ellen? Stop. When we stop giving thought to that which is deceived and start giving our thoughts to Him who lives forever in truth, praise God. The truth is formed in you and you become a new creature. You cannot forget. Who's going to bring the remembrance for you? God or the Holy Ghost, right? The Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. How long have you known that, Frankie? You've known the Scripture for your whole life. Yet the man-pleaser has not allowed you to let it entertain your life and bear the burden. Praise the Lord. This morning, He's here. Christ is here. He's here to call it out. And in calling it out, He's going to heal it. He's going to heal you. And allow that which is in you of the truth, that which is in you by prophecy, to set you apart unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? God bless you today.